The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text again this Sunday morning is John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38, where Pilate is speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ at his arraignment. Jesus Christ is being arraigned before Pilate. And this is what we find recorded by John in John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. It says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find no fault in him. And as I said last week, we looked at Pilate and much more than Pilate, but this mockering of what is truth. And I said that this week we will actually look at truth. Now think of this. The Lord of glory, Jesus Christ the Lord, he bore witness unto the truth. Those who are actually saved are of the truth, and they hear Christ's voice. That is, they pay heed to it. They pay heed to it. The New Testament alone uses the word truth at least 117 times. It uses the word true 54 times. It uses the word truly 18 times. So we have almost 200 times that the word truth, true or truly, is used. And then there are various other words that are actually the same Greek word, but it's not translated truth or true. But so surely we have words from God's word that define the truth. Surely from the New Testament we can find words that distinguish the truth. And surely we have in the New Testament words that define the importance of the truth and express the importance of the truth. And I submit to you this morning that there are, and I would encourage you to keep listening, keep following along with me. Now, first of all, let me give you three things. First of all, first, the Apostle John declared these words, no lie. No lie is of the truth. You see, those who do not hold to, those who do not heed, those who do not embrace and love the truth, they are of lies. They are of their father, the devil. And that's not my take on it. This is not something I've come up with. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said to some people. And he was speaking to some people, and you can find it in John chapter 8. And you find our Lord saying these words, Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And remember, he said, Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And now he's talking to some people and says, Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now listen to what he says to them. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Here it is. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So again I say, here's the first thing about truth. Remember, no lie is of the truth. These things are total opposites. There is men say they're like oil and water. They don't mix. No lies of the truth. And those who do not hold to, those who do not heed and embrace and love the truth, they are of lies. They are of their father, the devil. And also, truth is also never optional. Truth is not just something you kind of tack in on the end, if you wish. You remember the account where the Lord Jesus Christ met a woman of Samaria? He was sitting in a well, and when she came up to the well, he asked her about some water. And listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said to this woman. And listen to what he said. It's in John chapter 4, and I'll begin reading in verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. Do you hear what he said? See what he said to that woman? Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then listen to this next phrase by our Jesus Christ. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must. You see that? You see the imperative? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So again, first of all, no lies of the truth. No lies of the truth. Therefore, those who do not heed and embrace and love the truth, they're of their father the devil. The truth is not optional. You see, whenever someone is of the truth, and Christ said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That's what he said to Pilate. This is about the truth now. Everyone that is of the truth, they will turn from false religion. False religion will be turned away from by those who are in God's sovereign purpose to save. They turn away from lies and from error. But secondly, about the truth. Secondly, the truth has and is a central figure. You hear me? I said the truth has and is a central figure. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you see that again? Think about it. I am the way. He is saying, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man, none whatsoever, not one single one, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, no matter what facts you and I may know from the Bible, no matter what facts you and I may know about the Bible, if we miss Jesus Christ, we miss the truth. We miss the truth. It's not about how much of the Bible you know. It's not about how much of the Bible you even believe, per se. It's about who do you believe. It's about who you know. The Apostle Paul cried out, Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. So no matter how many facts we know from the Bible or know about the Bible, if we miss Jesus Christ, we've missed the truth. The very work of God the Spirit, who is called the very Spirit of Truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. It is to reveal the things of Christ to men and women. Listen to what John records of our Lord's words in John chapter 16. Our Lord was telling the disciples he was going away, and of course they were saddened by this. And he says these words unto them in John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. You see it? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Do you see it? Of sin, because they believe not on me. That's the first thing he even mentions. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Do you see it? There's the second thing. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And how was he judged? He was judged by Christ's sacrificial cross work on the tree. It's all about Christ, do you see? It's all about him. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then Christ continues, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, hear it? Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Do you see it? Verse 14, He, that is the Spirit of truth, God the Spirit, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So we see that even the Spirit of God, the Comforter whom Christ sent after he ascended back to the Father's right hand, the very work of God the Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is to reveal the things of Christ to men and women. So again, the second thing about truth is this: no matter what men claim, you miss the Christ of God, then God the Spirit has never regenerated you. You've never been saved. You've never been converted. So remember, no lie. We don't talk about the truth. We won't talk about the truth. We talk about the truth from the New Testament scriptures. What is it? What does it mean? What is this really about? First of all, no lies of the truth. There is no admixture of lies and truth. There is no admixture. Remember, truth is never optional. It's never optional. The second, truth has a central figure. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not about Bible facts. It's about the truth. It's about Christ. It's about who he is and what he has done. And thirdly, here's the third thing about truth. The scriptures are the only instrumentality of truth. And what do I mean by that? There is no truth outside of the scriptures. There is no truth outside of the Holy Bible. There is no truth outside of the Word of God. There is no truth. Men's opinions do not matter. What does the Lord say in the scriptures? This is what matters. That's the third thing. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John chapter 17, recorded in verse 17 of that chapter. Our Lord Jesus Christ praying for his people, praying for his elect, praying not only for the 11 disciples, not for Judas, but for the 11 disciples, and for praying for everyone who would believe on him through the disciples' words. He prayed these words: sanctify them through thy truth. That set them apart, Lord, through thy truth. And then he defined it: thy word is truth. And I want you to hear Peter's words about it. This is how important it is. And hear what Peter says about the scriptures, about the truth. And I'm going to read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now think about that. Peter is giving, he is recounting when Peter, James, and John, when all three of them were up on the mount. And remember, Christ was transfigured before them. His face and his garment shone as the noonday sun is white and bright. And God the Father spoke from heaven, and they heard these things. Now, what a marvelous thing that must have been to see. Can you imagine? But then think about, Peter's mentioned this experience. But then look at what he says. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Peter said there's something more sure than even that event that happened to me. Do you think about the gravity of this statement then. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first. Now, here is that more sure word of prophecy. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Peter's saying the scriptures is not one's own personal explanation. It's not the writer's own take, but it's the very thoughts of God on this matter. The scriptures are what God says. The scriptures are thus saith the Lord. And the scriptures supersede any dream, any vision, even that which Peter, James, and John held. So do you think that any vision you or I might have can supersede that which Peter, James, and John experienced on the Mount? No way. But I'll tell you, Peter says that we have a more sure word of prophecy, and it's the scriptures themselves. Because why? Because when these men spoke and when they wrote these things down, God Almighty himself moved them to write the very words that he was pleased to use to express the truth unto you and I in this day and age. The truth, listen to me, here's these three things. The truth has nothing to do with lies. It's totally opposite from and separate from lies. The truth is never optional. And the truth has a central figure, a central person. Jesus Christ is the truth. And thirdly, the truth is known only from the scriptures. If you ever know Christ, if the Spirit of God ever reveals Christ to you, and that's his primary job, that's his primary function, that's his primary purpose in this world, is to take the things of Christ and show it unto men and women. And if, and even when the Spirit of God shows the things of Christ to men and women, he will use the scriptures to do it. So then, with these three fundamental facts, foundational facts about the truth established, and this is what the book has said. This is not my opinion. This is not my take on it. This is thus saith the Lord about the truth. With these things clearly established in the New Testament, here are two facets of the truth that I want to give you this morning. And I pray that God Almighty give us all, give us ears to hear and a heart to perceive concerning this. So this is my fourth point this morning. And my fourth point is to show each and every one under the sound of my voice that here are two facets of the truth. We've established the fundamental principle, the foundation, the bedrock, if you will, of the truth. Now we're going to look at two facets of the truth. First of all, here's number one. Let's get right to it. Truth deals with our corruption and our unworthiness. And I mean mine and yours. I'm not preaching down at you. It deals with our corruption. Listen to what is recorded in Matthew chapter 15. This is the scripture. Matthew chapter 15, and listen to what verse 21 says. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. Think about that. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now think about it. This woman was not an Israelite. And she's come up to the Lord Jesus Christ begging him for mercy, not even for herself, but for her daughter, for someone else. And at first he ignores her. And the disciples said, Well, get her out of here, Lord. Send her away. And when they say that, he says, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet, that is, it is not proper, to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Oh, do you see what he's just done to this woman? He's called her a dog. He said, You're asking me for the children's, you're asking me for Israel's meat. You're asking me to take the truth of God and give it to you, a Gentile, a dog. That's what he's just said to this woman. Now, what does most of us do? Oh, I'll never speak to this man again. I'll never hear him again. But listen to what she said. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know what she just said? You're right, Lord. That's truth. I'm a dog. I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. Oh, what a glory. And listen, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Do you think about that? Great faith. Great faith. What? To acknowledge what you are before God. That's the truth. That's the truth of the New Testament scriptures. It's the truth of the Old Testament scriptures. It's the very truth of the law, is to acknowledge what we are before God. We're nothing but a dog before God. I'm unclean and I'm undone. Oh, but God, oh, but Lord Jesus Christ, I'm your dog. Isn't that something? I'm your dog. Listen to another account. Listen to what Luke records in Luke chapter 7, and I've got to move along. In Luke chapter 7, listen to these words. We're talking about truth here. And we've laid the foundation of truth now, remember? We've laid the foundation. Now we're looking at two facets of the truth, two actual statements. One of them is what? You don't brag about yourself. Brag about the master. We're nothing but dogs, do you see it? But that's okay. That's fine. That's truth, Lord. I am a dog. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Now listen to another one. Here's Luke in Luke 7. Now when he had ended all his sayings, speaking of Christ, in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. So here is this centurion. He's not a Jew now. Here's this centurion, and he's got a servant that's very dear to him. And he sends for Jesus to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, that's the people that he sent to it, who were evidently Jews. Listen to what it says. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. They bragged about the centurion. You see it? It says, for he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Now think of it. Here's a Gentile who had built a synagogue for these Jews. And he sends these Jews out, his friends, and says, go tell him, would he come heal my servant? And they brag about him. Jesus, you ought to do this for him because he's worthy. He built us a synagogue. Now think about that. That's the context. Think about it. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Do you see that? Oh, what a glory. Think about it. They were bragging on him, but he would not brag on himself. Do you see it? Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am all my man, set under authority, and having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Do you see it? Here's a fundamental fact of truth. Here's a fundamental fact of, you remember our Lord said, he that is of truth heareth my voice. A fundamental fact is this. No one who's of the truth thinks that they're ever worthy of God's grace and mercy and compassion. They know that it flows freely from God by his sovereign mercy and compassion. Promote yourself. Promote your own righteousness. Promote your own worthiness. You're condemned. Oh, but if you can bow before God as his dog, you cry out unto him, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof or that I should come to you. Just say the words and it'll be so. Christ calls those two kinds of things great faith. And here's the second thing. Truth is God's sovereign right to bless whom he pleases and not bless whom he pleases. That's found in Luke chapter 4. And I want you to go back sometime. I don't have time to go through and read it all. But our Lord made this statement to a bunch of Jews one time. He said, there were many widows in Israel. But in that time, God never fed a one of them. God never fed a one of them, but sent the prophet down to a Gentile to feed her. There were many lepers in Israel, and God didn't heal a one of them. He sent the prophet to Naaman to heal that one Gentile. And those people were filled with wrath. Why? Just because of a Gentile? No, because of God's sovereign right. Certain ones he did not heal. Another single individual he did heal, and they hated that with a passion and would have killed him had it not been not his time to die. So here's a fact. The truth of God's sovereign right to bless whom he pleases and not bless who he pleases is bowed to by the people of God. Those, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Go back and read it sometimes. Luke chapter 4, verses 20 through 29. You see, this sovereign pleasure is not about our physical maladies and physical troubles. You go back, I read almost the whole chapter last week, Romans chapter 9, verses 9 through 24. where God says, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. It is of God. It is of God. It's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So if you hate this, then you hate God. And there is no truth in you. These are the two fundamental things that God teaches every person that he ever saves. One, I'm not worthy. I'm a dog. Two, it's all up to him. It's all at his sovereign discretion. It's all at his disposal. Anyone who rejects these two fundamental facets of the truth, they reject the truth. All life for God's elect works to this end. And this is exactly what Job said in Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Go back and read all of those calamities that came upon Job were for this one purpose. In the end, Job said this, I've heard of you with the hearing of my ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. In other words, I see God for who he really is, absolutely sovereign in all things. And his next statement was this, wherefore I abhor myself. Do you see it? There's the two fundamental facets of truth. One, we come to bow to the truth about God. And two, we bow to the truth about ourselves. We bow to the glory of Christ. And we bow to the truth that we're corrupt and dishonorable for God. And our only hope of salvation, our only hope of justification, our only hope of righteousness before God Almighty, our only hope of peace with God and acceptance before God is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.